on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Nick. Nick Sharara in studio on the board today. What's up, boys? Lance, how are you?
Doing good. What's going
good
on?
Good morning.
Nick, what's going on, man? How you like getting up, brother?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I slept early. I prepared.
You did?
I did.
I like that. Look at Nick.
Yeah.
Going all out this morning. I saw he sent the invitation to edit. He's got all the stories on there. Bigger story. The NFL thinks it is going to start October 8th, or that the baseball season looks like the owners have approved a July 4th start.
B. Because there can't be an A without a B. I mean, there could be, but I think B needs to happen to give A an idea of, frankly, what to expect. I seriously doubt everything goes without a hitch. At some point, you're going to run into a speed bump. And seeing it earlier and recognizing what you need to do and how your game plan works and things like that, I think are very, very important. So I think having baseball in that situation and seeing what they go through and what happens if a player tests positive, what is your recourse, what do you do, how do you navigate that, I think that would be very important for football to be able to already see that and already have a game plan and have another sport, work around it, work through it, and kind of show the roadmap.
Yeah, well, and hopefully it'll be different. Hopefully by October 8th, you know, baseball is going to go without fans. Hopefully by October 8th, we'll be able to put however many fans in the stands. I think as the baseball season goes along, you're going to start to see some people in the stands.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I definitely think it's possible. It's just, you know, here's the problem. You have... From what I can tell, what I've read and in talking to football people, there is a strong belief that until there is inoculation of some sort, that they're just not interested in having fans. So that you can't really rush that. I mean, the problem is that's not at the earliest you're looking at September or October for that. So that's the one tricky part. But I think if you see cases cut way back – that could potentially, and that's one of the reasons that from a very practical matter, if you're just looking at this as a pragmatist, if you reopen things now, we know there is going to be a surge. No one says there's not. Everyone knows that. There's going to be fewer cases when everyone's locked down in their houses. That's never not been the case. But when those numbers start to climb a little bit, if you can manage and treat people and you have a new antiviral that you're using with remdesivir, and, you know, can you get it to all the people? There's other things there. But if those numbers are managed and then they are start to be in a decline by June, then that gives you hope that in July you'll get your baseball going. You won't have the test for baseball players. You want positive tests. And then maybe you could see some fans reintroduced after the first 35 to 40 games. I think baseball would be up for it, provided that they feel very, very safe. The only thing is there's a chance that you have inoculation by October, and you're not going to have that this summer when baseball is going on. With that said, though, like you said, John, I could see something where it might be only 8,000 to 10,000 people. It might be like a Rays game.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, those will be coveted. It won't be like a Rays game in that you'll probably have to spend a lot more money to be one of those 8,000 or 10,000 people. You'll be spread out throughout the stadium. I can certainly see a point where we are going to have maybe 15,000 to 20,000, maybe half a stadium at Minute Maid, or close to that by the end of the season.
You think that many? Because you're really close. Even with that many, you think of how close the seats are. You're just literally one seat apart is the only difference.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you'll come in twos and you'll come in fours. And if you're going to sit with your people, and then, you know, you'll have a separation. If you've got four in a row, then you'll have a separation of two. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But I can certainly see that happening. So what does an 82 game baseball season mean? Will it be valid? We had that back in 81 when the Dodgers won a strike-shortened season. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We had something similar to that. But the nerds are already out. When I looked at how teams play over the best stretches of 50, 75, and 100 games, I found that 100 games does a pretty good job of replicating 162-game season, with teams' best 100-game stretches on average 0.038 points of winning percentage better than their 162-game percentage. That's 3.8 wins over 100 games.
Sorry, nerds, don't care.
For 75 games, the best stretches averaged 5.1 wins better. So, well, like last year.
Hold on, let me hit my calculator so I can well actually Twitter for you.
Well, actually, it appears as though me and Tiger went to figure this out at 2.65 wins per win share over the DVA. I put my finger in my own butthole and then at 3.6 and I bleep, 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 bleep. Hold on a second. I'll give you the actual calculation of who is better, LeBron or Jordan. I have some numbers right here. Bloop, 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 bloop. It appears as though 1.743264 repeating games should be taken away because baseball cannot actually function without 87.62 games. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Shut up, nerds. Shut up, you dumb nerds. You just made me mad, and I don't even know why, John. I'm so tired of, well, actually, nerds on, please, can you let us have some games without, well, actually, you cannot get the actual number of best case scenario performance in the evaluation I have according to my DVOA. God bless, fall in a ditch and die. I hate all of y'all right now. Let us get some games, you dumbasses. God bless. I can just hear those nerds now like, well, we are working on the calculations that say this 82 games, this just simply cannot come to pass. Unless there is 94. God, I hate those people.
Nick.
Yes.
Do you have a volcano erupting?
I mean, seriously.
On the fourth floor.
Is he in studio?
He is, yeah. He didn't notice.
He's in studio?
Yeah, luckily I sprayed down this mic because I was spitting all over it just now. God bless.
Why,
man,
does this upset you that the nerds are out there,
you
looking
know what,
at a hunt?
Because I tell you why. I can't stand, well, actually, Twitter, where you have anything that's funny, anything that's good, anything that's interesting. And, well, actually, Twitter's the person who has to try to validate their own existence because they feel like they're worthless sacks of dog turds. So to make themselves feel better, and you're not worthless sacks of dog turds, you're not. It doesn't matter how many followers you have or anything. They've got to come back in with, well, actually, Michael Jordan, well, actually, he did this and this. Like, you can't say anything without, well, actually, Twitter trying to come in and, like, come over the top of you with some other factoid to try to eliminate your commentary. Well, actually, and usually they have read the situation wrong and they're well actually, you know, things that don't even need to be well actually. They're just, well, actually, Twitter is a problem. It's a legitimate problem in society.
It's those two words that sparked that for you.
But what you're saying is, well, actually, article. I don't. Where'd you get that? Like, what are you reading from?
No, it's an article. It's baseball nerds.
Yeah. No, who? Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Let me just put it out there. What website? Where'd it come from?
The guy who was, well, actually, the written. It was an ESPN.com compilation. Bradford Doolittle. David Schoenfeld.
Of course, Bradley Doolittle.
Bradford.
Yeah, what? Bradford, even better.
Bradford, have you worked on your calculations yet? Yes, Mom. I've worked on calculations. It appears as though first grade is a complete waste of time unless we are in school for 314 days. 0.67. I don't like 6.6. I'll round to 6.7. Bradford, what did you find in your second grade class? Well, actually, it's not exactly second grade. We're still in the midst of first grade inside of the early stages of second grade. I don't believe that we actually hit second grade until the midpoint of the year. Bradford, don't speak back to your mummy like that. Well, actually, she's not my mummy.
That's
I'm adopted.
I think he's
You're not adopted, Bradford. Stop telling people that. I was born from calculations. We're not born from calculations. We had intercourse.
Bradford, stop telling.
Well, actually, it was digital and analog. Bradford, stop saying that about your mummy.
4,327 sperm cells.
Well, actually, the sperm cells are what have the ability to penetrate the egg. And the chromosomes is an XX and an XY. Let me write this article about how baseball is inconsequential unless we get to a certain number of games.
Man, you got me in a... Oh, yeah, I swear didn't even, God,
all I
segment.
Said was, well, actually.
I know. And that's one. And well, you know what? I'm a millennial because that was my trigger. That was I considered it to be a microaggression.
I had never
You microaggressed me, and that, now it was a trigger warning, and then I got triggered.
I had never really thought about, but you know what? Well, actually, Twitter is.
You know, you need it's a there. Yeah.
You need a T-shirt. Well, actually. Yes, that's what you need. Well, actually.
Well, actually, Twitter, if you've never thought about it,
never
and now you think about it,
yes,
you realize it is a thing.
Bunch of a-holes.
It is a thing where they just have to, if everybody's agreeing with something, they're like, oh, immediately trying to come up with something to counter and be, we usually like to call them, well, actually, Twitter is the, what's the word for it when you have somebody who goes the other direction of everything?
He's a.
What's
I know
the
what
phrase? Yeah, there's a yeah. phrase for it. I'll come up with it, or somebody on Twitter will come up with it and tell me,
right?
And then I'll say it out loud.
Because he's a contradictory.
Intentionally contradicts everything.
Right.
Yeah, but there's another word for it. We'll come up with it in a second.
Right.
But so anyway, yeah. Well, actually, here's the thing. You know, DHs in both leagues, which is what they're talking about. Great. You want to make it two different 15-team leagues? Don't care. That's fine. I really don't care what you do to get revenue pumped back into the economy in any way, shape, or form. Give people some normalcy back. Be able to get – this is so very important that I don't think people – I think they're really – unfortunately, there are too many people – there's not really too many people. There's two – Bradford and his Finn – Bailey or whatever, whoever wrote that. Austin Quinn, Bradford, and McGillicuddy.
David Schoenfield, Bradford, Doolittle,
yeah.
And Jesse Rogers, who Jesse Rogers just doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesse Rogers actually was the one that was given all the nerdy stats, which is ironic. So Bradford Doolittle actually talked about, I mean, it's really, really nerd.
Yeah.
So, but that's what baseball has to do. They have to, well, not,
I know,
now they have
the
to
numbers,
validate.
Yeah,
they have to validate.
What's the article's name? What's the article's name?
The article's name is an 82-game season, a universal DH, key takeaways from MLB's 2020 proposal.
Now, what article is this?
ESPN.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw.
I've never seen Bradford Doolittle though. Here's a new one. We have to fire all the Buster Olneys and all of the big name writers. Now we got Bradford Doolittle.
Well, now Bradford Doolittle, he's catching all my bullets because his name is Bradford. But here's what he says: Everyone, what's the most exciting part of this? Everyone has a chance. Well, not quite, but pretty close on a per game basis.
Mm-hmm.
Teams aren't any better or worse than they would have been in a normal season. So he's actually not being well, actually, Twitter there.
No, the other guy is.
But the hidden factor that flows beneath every season looms much larger in half season scenarios, randomness. Now, right. here's where, but you and I talk about this too. There is.
Oh, David Schoenfield was the nerd that came up with all the 0.3, 0.8 wins over 100 games.
Yeah, and that's just sabermetric guy. I get it. I just don't want to hear from sabermetric guy taking a big fat dump on anything right now. But to be fair,
I don't think he took a big. Actually, I think he proved that it's going to be pretty close to what. Now, however, you will remember that the Washington Nationals started 19-31 last year. They would not have been in this playoff. And the Astros
would have won.
The Astros would have won the World Series.
Why couldn't we have had a pandemic last year?
I know. Why did the pandemic come late?
God, we were just 1 year early with the pandemic.
7:15. You know what we need to do? I actually dreamt that I was doing shots of whiskey. I actually dreamt that last night.
You did? You know what? It's funny. I did too. So I got a tweet from Chris Andrews, the guy, a longtime listener, and he tweeted he had a picture of the rye and the bourbon from Blackland Distillery, and he got it from his local liquor store, and said that they had talked about how these things were really moving well, and there's lots of, you know, people were talking and saying great things about it. This is, I'm telling you right now, you have a chance to be on this first before any of your buddies. And within a year, year and a half, this is all anyone's going to be talking about, because it's the same as, you know, there's different distilleries who do vodka in the state of Texas, and you hear about them in the bars. Well, this is going to be the one that you hear about within a year and a half, and it's going to be everywhere. And you can say that you had it first. It's got these awesome bottles. The packaging is tremendous. And funny story about it. The lady who designed the packaging actually used to be a supermodel back in the day, and now she owns her own packaging company. And there's all kinds of interesting stories when you really get into the history of Blackland Distillery. And they've only been open for about a year and a half, but they have some of the most heralded spirits in the state of Texas. They're right here in Texas. They distill gin, bourbon, rye, and vodka. And every one of them is distinctly original because of the processes that go into it. They're not just trying to crank out batches. They're trying to make spirits that blow you away every single time that you open the bottle. Make sure that you have what is going to be the hottest spirits in the state of Texas, because it's distilled right here in Texas, and you're going to be hearing all about it. Be the first one in. Go to your local liquor store. If they don't have Blackland Distillery, demand they start carrying it and experience the smoothness and the quality for yourself. Blackland Distillery.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good news, Lance. Oh, by the way, the word was contrarian.
Yeah, contrarian. I don't know how we missed it.
I knew contradictory. I said contradictory, which is close.
Thank you, Jose, because that's exactly what it was, contrarian. Yep.
So, two things, really good news. Number one, Gilbert's out of the hospital, we just found out.
But what do you mean?
He was in the hospital, but he's out now. Well, Nick, what did he say? He said, tell John I'm in the hospital.
Yeah, he said, tell John that he's in the hospital, but he's out and he's okay. He wouldn't tell me why he's in the hospital.
Yeah, he's not going to give you too much.
No. He would. So that's not true. But it's good to know that he's not in the hospital. The whole thing's not true. Mm-hmm. But secondly, Prime is open.
Yeah, Prime Social. Yeah, like out of nowhere.
I was like. Brent texts me, oh, I forgot to tell you, we're open. What? Now what now?
Yeah.
I think they're doing six max.
Yeah, at a table, yeah.
Yeah, six max at a table. And you go in there, I think you got to wear masks. I think you got
to
sanitize.
Yeah, you have to have face coverings. They are going to do a great job of cleaning. You have six at a table. I think they're doing temperatures when you come in also.
Yeah, good.
And then I had to go file a police report yesterday for that uninsured motorist that hit me and all that stuff. I had to go get a police report. And when I went in, they take your temperature.
So why don't you tell us about you getting hit by an uninsured motorist?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, what happened?
Well, I just, this guy tried to gun it across Shepherd. I mean, we got four lanes headed to Shepherd, and he tries to gun it across, and I have to jam on the brakes. I end up hitting his truck, and, you know, turns out no license, no insurance, no nothing. And so wait there for 45 minutes before he takes off. Police never came. Hour and 20 minutes, they never ended up coming. And apparently, if you're not dead or if somebody's not really hurt, they're probably not going to come. That's not really a thing. Even though you're supposed to, for an uninsured motorist, you're supposed to have them come. And I don't know. They didn't come. So after an hour and 20 minutes, I had to end up leaving because I had a meeting I had to get to at 3 o'clock with a bank. So that's that. So it was nothing. I mean, that's all I'm going to tell you on the air. I got other stuff I'll tell you at some point.
Okay. That's it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
That's it. My whole front
that's
end
not
is
a great. That's
it's
not a
drivable,
story.
But.
Well, no.
No, I got to drive to out to see Craig DeSurf in the body shop out there. The hood got messed up. The front grip. All the front bumper. I mean, right now the initial estimate is $3,500 of damage, but they expect it to be closer to $5,000 when everything's looked at.
That's awesome. Yeah. No wonder you're a little irritable today.
Yeah, that's not. It's not awesome getting.
No.
Having an accident due to an uninsured driver who, if I don't have insurance, here's what I'm not going to do: try to gun it across four lanes of traffic that are one way when I don't have a right of way. I would be the most cautious. When I see some people driving and they're going super slow and I'm getting irritated, and I think, you know what? What if they don't have insurance? I appreciate this level of driving. What about when people get upset when old people are driving slow? You know what? Do you want old people driving fast? Is that what you're looking for? Somebody with reduced reaction time just gunning it? No? Keep driving slow, Grandma. That's fine with me.
No, reduced reaction time.
I can get around you. It's not a problem.
Yeah, we'll go around. All right, so 724 ESPN 97.5. So we got some good news. Prime Social open, people. So wear your mask, get on over there, and play some poker. And sanitize your hands every time, all the time. Say, bring your hand sanitizer to the table and sanitize.
Oh, holy crap. Huge, huge news.
What?
I mean this. This is huge. Shout out to The Rooftops. The original Broadway production of Hamilton, filmed live on stage at Richard Rogers Theater, is now coming exclusively to Disney Plus this July 3rd. So right before the 4th of July, on Disney Plus, Hamilton, which is, I saw this original at Richard Rogers, the original cast filmed on stage that was fetching in the neighborhood of $3,000 a ticket for their final performances. Before the cast was gone, is going to be on Disney Plus July 3rd. So that's going to be like,
everybody buy Disney Plus.
Hugely watch. What was the deal?
Please.
I saw that 90%, it fell off by 90% Disney stock or something like that.
Well,
is that because of
all the parks are closed?
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I'm thinking of is digital stuff, but it's got to be all the parks.
Well, the Disney Plus is the only thing that's really keeping it alive. You know, Disney owns the ABC affiliates as well, the biggest markets like Houston,
New York, ESPN too, right?
L.A., Chicago, San Francisco. But no, there's no advertising money coming in.
But so it's ESPN also, right?
Yeah, ESPN.
So is ESPN having to make huge layoffs or?
Well, ESPN is not getting their. Nobody's getting their advertising dollars. I mean,
that's one of the reasons I'm like, look,
huge. Yeah.
That's what kind of pissed me off about the whole, well, if you play a certain amount, anything questioning whether or not you should even play I don't want to even hear it. And I know that's not what that guy was saying, so I don't want to create a fake argument to argue against. But I don't. If it means playing without people in the stands, then you play without people in the stands. If it means a truncated season in any of the sports, then you do that. But you need to play. Colleges, and I'm telling you, not just because of our industry, but because of what it is going to mean across the board, the ripple effect. If colleges don't play football this fall and there is no revenue coming in for a full calendar year on athletics, it is just many, many colleges would not be able to sustain. And you are going to see people 100% lose their jobs. 100% across the board, and it is going to cause some sports. I've already heard some sports have already closed down in Division III schools. They're done, like Division II, I guess it is, not Division. I don't know if it's two or three, but I saw there's one school that already had to shut down five of their athletic programs, and they said, we can't come back. It's just too much. We're not going to have enough for our right. school. Our school can't function right now.
And the non-revenue sports are the ones that are going to catch it. That's
oh, yeah, they that. Will be eliminated. Yeah. You can forget yeah. that Title IX element of it because they're yeah. just not going to be able to fund non-revenue sports.
Just can't do it. All right, 728 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, what a possible late start to the season means for your Houston Texans. That's next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I got to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf says, listen, the market sucks, but I'm still paying more than everybody else is. So you have to go into this knowing that, well, I'm not going to get what I thought I was going to get or what I would have gotten before all of this started for my car. I'm just not going to get it. So, but here's the deal, is what will I get for my car? I have to sell it. I'm upside down on my payments. I've got to get out of this thing. What can I do? John Clay Wolf says, what you want to do is get the most for your vehicle. And where do you get the most for your vehicle? At GiveMeTheVIN.com. Market's changed, but he's still leading the way in paying more than everybody else. So if you're looking for a great, and you got to be realistic about this thing, and you got to see, but you can compare prices too. When you get your quote from GiveMeTheVIN.com, we'll see what the dealership says. See what, I don't know where else you can go anymore. But all you can do is find out what the value of your car is right now. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get most at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Nick Sharara right here on the show. Nick joins us on Tuesday. Glenn Davis is going to join us at 10 o'clock to talk about Bundesliga. Bundesliga. I'm going to be back and running on Thursday. So we'll talk a little bit about what that means. I think the Premier League also opening up. They've got a plan. So it looks like everybody's going to get to say, we're going to get started here. Here we go. I saw ESPN had a timetable of stuff that was going to go on. We're going to have another UFC fight coming up. And then we got Bundesliga. And then they said some kind of darts champ. And I was like, okay, when we can stop saying darts championships are opening up, then we're going to be just fine. Then I think we're, as a society, we'll be just fine when we can stop talking about when the dart season is going to start again. So looks like the plan, Lance, is, and this is how they worked the schedule, was I think that they thought this is a real possibility that the season is going to start week five, and we push the first four games of the season into January. And then the Super Bowl moves back a month to February 27th. And it looks like now that that's going to be the plan. So the Texans, as opposed to starting with the Chiefs, followed by the Ravens, followed by the Steelers, followed by the Vikings, which was the toughest start to any season, here's how their season would start. Jaguars at the Texans, Texans at the Titans, Packers at the Texans, Texans at the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that start better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that, but no, that start on in theory is much, much better, other than the fact that now you have to deal with some injury-prone players who have to face the toughest games at the end of the year. That's not really, it sounds good now when you want that credit card ass kicking where you get to take your, you know, make your payments later when you're like, oh, man. We got to play the Ravens now. Oh, God, I got to play the Chiefs.
Well, so now the week two
wins.
Well, every week two, it looks like, every week two opponent is in your bye week. So I think you'll play the Ravens. Actually, you're going to move three games to the final, weeks 1, 3, and 4 to January. And you're in your bye week, which you won't have anymore. You're going to have your week two opponent. So you're going to play week 8, which would have been games 5, 6. Actually, if it does, if they do this, and they only move three games to the end of the season, and they move your week two opponent into your bye week, you would have the Packers, the Jaguars to start, then the Titans, then the Packers, and then you would have the Ravens, because that would be your week 8 opponent. So that ass kicking, at least you're spreading out your Chiefs and Ravens ass kickings.
Right. That's true, I guess. But like I said, it's just a credit card ass kicking.
You gotta
pay at some point.
But do you want to start? Or do you really want to start this season? If you had your druthers, would you really want to start with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Vikings, or the Jags?
I kind of like getting it out early.
Do you?
Yeah, before they get there. Yeah.
Well, you don't know what injuries they're going to have.
But it's not even the injury so much as your team is fundamentally the same other than one wide receiver. You don't have a lot of – I mean, and granted, that's kind of a big deal, but you do have veterans that you brought in at least. These aren't rookies. You've got veteran wide receivers that you're throwing into the mix. Will Fuller is going to be healthy. I just think the odds are that Will Fuller will now not be healthy. The odds are J.J. Watt will not be healthy. That's what the history – our last 4 years will tell us that J.J. and Will Fuller will be hurt by the time you're facing now your hardest opponents. That's just not favorable.
Well, then, if that's the view, then guess what? They ain't going to do nothing in the postseason anyway because Will Fuller and J.J. Watt won't be there. you gotta hope and pray at some point that you're actually going to have your players on the field.
Hope and pray all you want. How does that work for you?
Well, no. Well, then you know what? Fundamentally, you have to look at how you're doing things then. Because here's the deal, and he does, because he goes and picks up a guy who's been injured in Randall Cobb. He goes and picks up a guy who's been injured in David Johnson. He goes and picks up a guy who's been injured in Brandon Cooks. He's got Will Fuller. All of these, J.J. Watt, all of these guys that you're paying and you're dependent on are not on the field. So, instead of looking at how you practice every week and how hard on, look at me, I'm lifting every after the game and I'll never ever go home and I'm going to be here till 4 o'clock in the morning and then I'm going to be back at 4:15 because, damn it, I'm just convinced that that's all that's in my life is the Houston Texans. Rah, 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 rah.
You sound and like I'm Buffalo hurt. Bill from Silence of the Lambs there.
I'm not going to be able to do any of this stuff, practice with the... with Ed Winter's skin on my back.
Like, why do we get this guy?
It puts the steroids on my skin, or it gets the hose again. That's right.
You guys want to go check out my well? No.
Yeah.
We don't want to check out your well.
Hey, Nick Martin, are you a great big fat person?
Why do you have a well? This is Houston. Can't have anything underground like that.
Well, we have wells in Houston?
No. We're above sea level. We're below sea level. Remember, we have mausoleums and all that stuff.
Where do we get our water?
That's right.
Where do we get our water? that's right. Under the ground. So let me ask you. Okay.
To me, it doesn't. You're playing the same teams. It really doesn't matter, honestly. We can make up little things. But then I've noticed that we look at schedules every year and we come up with these concepts and ideas about why this is really good or why this is really bad. And then when the games are played, and I think back on it, I'm like, this is just every week is a new game, and it's the matchup is the matchup. None of that other crap that we talked about mattered, and it has been many times. It's been actually in favor of the Houston Texans, where we saw doom and gloom, and then all of a sudden you look up and that team is nowhere near what you expect. Look, there's a chance that the Minnesota Vikings. We think the Texans might not be the team that they've been. There's a chance the Minnesota Vikings. This is a fall off year, and they win 7 games. I mean, they lost their top three cornerbacks, Everson Griffin, Stephon Diggs. Those are major, 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 major losses. Major losses. And no team is exactly what you – it just doesn't work that way. You look at a schedule, ooh, this schedule looks hard, this schedule looks easy. And invariably, several of the teams are are different and some extremely different than what you expected.
Yeah. No. I agree. You don't have any idea. But you really don't have any choice. Either you're right. If you start on October 5th, you start on October 5th. That's all. The first game of the year will no longer be Texans and Chiefs on the Thursday night. It'll be Buccaneers and Bears on that Thursday night game. So you're going to have that Tom Brady against the Bears, and who cares? I don't give a rat's ass. Just start. But I think it'll be – I think that an October 8th start is a lot more logical. No preseason games. So you just get right into it. And I think we're going to find who gives a rat's ass about preseason games. Are some of the games – and then every sloppy game in the first week is going to be, well, you see, no preseason
games. It turns out that those 12 reps for your starting linebackers were important. No, not really. I mean, everything can be – preseason can be replicated. Frankly, it can be replicated with joint practices. Joint practices can replicate preseason replicate a preseason game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do that, whether or not they bring in teams together like that. That'll be interesting to see before October. Although baseball is going to be playing, basketball is going to be playing. If basketball is playing with guys sweating on each other and in each other's faces with sweat all over, there's no reason that you can't hit each other in football with helmets on and all this. So, I mean, you're going to find out whether – we'll find out well before October whether or not we can hit. Well, the question is whether or not we can have fans in the stands. And if the NFL has to wait 1 month to have fans in the stands, then that's exactly what they're going to do. They're not going to – if you have a choice of starting a month later or having fans for those first games, there's no question what they choose. Because obviously we want to have the fans in the stands. But I don't know. I don't really care. And again, I just think that starting really poorly really doesn't matter to this football team, and it hasn't mattered under Bill O'Brien. So if you start on time in the schedule and you play the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers and the Vikings first, you know what? I don't think it matters to them whether or not they're 0-4 or 1-3 or whatever the case may be, because they keep on playing for this guy. Whatever, he's got some kind of, we can give him all the criticism in the world.
We'll see now.
We can give him all the criticism in the world. What I will say about him is that they always play hard for him. We've never seen them quit on him.
We'll see how this year goes now that one of the dudes is gone. Because I believe that there is a... Anytime you deal with anyone, and there's been lots of these guys who have these personalities and attitudes, but there is a cumulative effect of getting – it just grinds and grinds and grinds. And we will see if these guys don't get – if the grinding is not starting to take its toll. We'll see. Because now you got a player who you know was the dude who's gone, and it had personality stuff related to it. I can tell you this. D-Hop believes some things were said in that meeting that were completely out of line. And he has told other people on that team. So he's not the only one who's sitting there with that information. He has told other players on the team that Bill O'Brien said some out of bounds stuff to him. I don't know that that has a non-effect. You know what I'm saying? I think eventually that is going to have an effect on how guys look at him as a person.
Well, when they have the next contract negotiation that's not going well, and the player says, well, I don't want to play for a guy that doesn't like baby mamas. I don't want to. I kind of feel like he's racist. He doesn't understand us. I feel like he... You know, he was the perfect hire by the guy who thought we were all prisoners. That will come. That will, at some point, some guy is going to throw that in Bill O'Brien's face, is the baby mama comment. That is going to happen. I don't think there's any question about that. He didn't want me around here because he's racist, and he didn't want me around here because he doesn't know our culture, blah, 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 blah. All that is going to happen. With Bill O'Brien, eventually, at some point, because of because I'm not getting my bag. That's what happened with Dwayne Brown. All of a sudden it became about, you know, a racial place because Dwayne Brown didn't get his bag. If Dwayne Brown had come, this would have never surfaced. Dwayne Brown would have been just fine if Dwayne Brown got all the money that he ever wanted with the, from the Houston Texans.
Yeah, Dwayne, well, it turns out Dwayne ended up being pretty good still beyond that. I think the Texans had some doubts, and I think the Texans missed on their evaluation. So I think if the Texans believed that Dwayne Brown, I think Dwayne Brown would have still been a Texan if they thought that he was worth that money and could still really play. I don't know. There may have been some other stuff at play there, but that's taking it out of the Texans for a second. The importance of, and when I ask a couple people in the league and said, why, man, I saw the schedule release. You got preseason games. Are those just placeholders? Yes, those are placeholders. Yes. We think we'll start in October. Okay. So we just release it as normal? Yes. There's, you just have to do a schedule release as normal, and then we work around it. Right. So that's good. That's good. Even if it's October, it's good. Now we got to get that college football schedule release party. Is that? Do they have one of those shows where they do schedule release for football, John? College?
A schedule release?
College football, if they don't change their timing, dude, college football could have 6 weeks to themselves, 7 weeks to themselves.
I know, right? Oh, college football might really, really like it if the NFL says, nah, we're starting late. Okay, thanks. 746 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick. However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Boy, we got to find out, Nick, if Gilbert calls back, what exactly happened, why he was in the hospital.
Yeah, he wouldn't reveal why he went to the hospital, but I'm glad he's okay and he's out and he's back home.
Right.
Of course, there's also the chance that none of that's even true.
Yes. Did you, Nick, how much interaction have you had with Gilbert?
On a remote once. I think we had a little small talk. I've heard him on the show a few times, so not much.
Well, you got to know this about Gilbert. He's probably lying.
Okay.
Okay. That's just basically, you have to go in with that premise, okay?
Well, he called.
There's a good chance.
Well, he called once, and then he said I was like, okay. And then when he called back a second time, I was like, well, I've really got to relay this information to Granato. It sounds pretty serious.
Yes.
But you think he's lying.
Yes. Yes, yeah, yeah. No, there's a 99.9% chance, because that's what Gilbert do, okay? But the stories are always pretty good, actually, if you want to know the truth. The stories are always, they're always entertaining. Like, who steals his bike all the time? He gets his bike stolen all the time. And Dell likes to grill.
I actually believe his bikes are getting stolen.
I do believe his bikes are getting stolen, too, but he immediately goes, his go-to move is, it was a black guy. Well, did you see him? Well, no. Well, yeah, I saw him. Well, what did he look like? I don't know. What? yeah. So it was. It's always a black guy, and unfortunately, there probably are a lot of, maybe there's some arrests being made that maybe, you know, Gilbert's responsible for that really shouldn't be happening in our city.
I do know his bike is really important to him because he's taking it with him.
Oh,
to,
he
like,
travels. Long. That's his car. No, it's he is driven. I'm telling you, he's put miles. I know where he lives. He's driven to Trailer Wheel and Frame. Like, that's a long. Well, he didn't ride the whole way there. He was on a bus. No one knows the bus paths better than Gilbert. Like, Gilbert knows. Gilbert used to put some miles in on his bike. I don't think he's doing the same thing, though. But he still uses his bike to get around. There's no question.
Yeah. No. And I feel for him. I had my bike stolen last week, and I know how it feels. I don't know if it was a black guy. I don't know. But I do know that it was stolen, and it felt bad. It felt really bad.
It feels bad to have anything stolen.
Yeah, and Gilbert doesn't have the wherewithal unless Sun and Ski Sports is donating a bike to him. He doesn't have the wherewithal to get another bike. So, you know, that's Gilbert's dilemma right there. But hey, apparently he doesn't own a really good lock because he never, ever.
Did you own a really good lock?
No, I didn't, but I do now.
Did you? I thought they cut your lock.
They did. It was a crappy lock. I thought, yeah, this is fine. Let me get this $22 one here.
Yeah.
Nah. No. Nope. You need the $80 lock.
Yeah, that's apparently what you need. By the way, Nick, I heard you playing, I don't know, was it random that you played Intergalactic?
No, I play it a lot. That's kind of one of my favorites.
Okay, so good. So I want to ask you this. I was hoping you'd say that. Have you watched the Beastie Boy doc yet?
No, I haven't.
On Apple Plus?
Mm-mm.
So it's Ad Rock and it's Mike D. Michael Diamond, Adam, Adam Horowitz. And so they're on a stage. I guess there were multiple shows that went on. They did the show. So what they do is the two of those guys are on stage with microphones and they're talking. It's probably in Brooklyn or something. It's a filled up auditorium and they're going through basically their history of how they got started. And they have slideshows. They got some videos. They've got slides. And they're telling the story of how they very first started and that Ad Rock was the first one. I said Ad Rock before, but wait a minute. Yauk. Well, Yauk is the one who got him started when he was like 17 years old. He was the one. He had already come up with the name Beastie Boys. And Beastie has a name. It's like Boys or Excellent Anarchist. It's like some goofy name is how it actually got started. But this whole doc takes you through the female drummer that they had in the band when they first got started. And I mean, how they became a-holes.
Yeah.
And then when they moved to L.A. and got all this money and Paul's Boutique flopped. Like, it was for anybody who likes the Beastie Boys at all on any level or recognizes them in hip-hop for what they've done, even if you don't like them, it's a really, really interesting documentary of the ups and downs of a band that was pretty high profile early on and then had a renaissance. Like, they became complete when Check Your Head came out. They went back to kind of their roots. And I'll never forget when that dropped, like being excited about that. For some reason, just being excited knowing that their music, that they were playing instruments and they were a completely different, and then their sound was completely different when Check Your Head came out. And then Hello Nasty and all that stuff from Intergalactic, that was all experimental stuff that they started doing that was really cool. I really like that one, too.
I would totally watch the documentary. I did expect, for some reason, that the Beastie Boys would kind of, like, be forgotten about. But they did eventually evolve into this group that had longevity. You know, like, they kind of had, like, resurgence. I don't know when.
The first thing of who they were, it was Check Your Head is when they had the resurgence. Because when they came out, then they did the MTV Music Awards, and they played Sabotage, and the place went crazy. They flipped off the cameras at the end, which was a big deal back then in the mid-90s. And, it's a really good doc for people who like music history. I think it's definitely worth your time. It's an interesting concept, hearing directly from those two guys on a stage setting in front of an audience and crowd. And Spike Jonze also directs that as well as, you know, he did a lot of their videos.
I would totally watch that. I mean, I just watched the ZZ Top one, but I haven't watched
it. What's that?
The ZZ Top documentary on Netflix. That's a pretty good one.
Okay, I'll check that one out, too.
Yeah.
I want to check out. So they had this article, John, about five basketball documentaries you should watch before you watch the last two episodes of Last Dance. And I sent it to my son, Alec. I said, this is your homework. And it's got Hoop Dreams on there. It's got Hoop Dreams, which highly, highly recommend. That's like basketball 101 for documentaries. You gotta watch. It's one of the great documentaries that's been produced to me in terms of the rawness and capturing what really went on between two players throughout their schooling, because it lasted a long time. It's got the Orlando Magic, and this is one that I've only seen recently, but it's on the ESPN app. You can check this out. It's the Orlando Magic documentary with Shaq and Penny and all those guys, that team that they had, the up and down from that team. One of the documentaries was, I got to see what the other ones were as well, because there was two of them that I haven't seen. I haven't seen the Orlando Magic documentary yet.
What about Basketball, A Love Story?
No, that's not on there.
I thought
that's not a single doc. That's like a zillion things you have
to
watch.
It's like six. I think there's 63 of them, and I thought they were spectacular.
But that's too long.
Well, it's all short stories, but there are so many great, great historical, and they're all short.
Well, here's the ones you have. No, it is really good. I just think it's too. They're looking for individual docs, not long, not a bunch of episodes. Like 30 for 30, Survive in Advance, the 83. And it's all tied. Like in 83, the year after Michael Jordan sank the winning shot in the NCAA title game for North Carolina, rival NC State. So they all try to find ways to connect it. Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals. That was one to watch. And obviously, that's kind of tied to Michael Jordan. 9 for 9. I'm not sure how they tie this to Michael Jordan, but it's like Jordan, Tennessee's Pat Summitt was an icon. That's how they did it. She was women's basketball's answer to Dean Smith. So that's one that they recommend.
Well, you should watch the Cheryl Miller one.
30 for 30, The Magic Moment, and then
Cheryl Miller.
Who Dreams?
The Cheryl Miller one, it is unbelievable. And if you leave Cheryl Miller off of your Mount Rushmore of women basketball
man,
players.
I know. I've got to reconsider and reconfigure my Mount Rushmore of women's basketball players.
I know. Right.
I haven't really. Because I'm man, where do I put her?
Well, I think we all did. We all said, you know, when they did the top four college basketball players ever, and Michael finished first, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Lou Alcindor wasn't even in it, then I think we all, and Shaq was in it, and we all said, this is stupid. And then we all gave our women's. And I think you left Cheryl Miller off, and I think you need to reconsider.
Yeah, I'm gonna erase my Mount Rushmore of women's basketball, and I'm gonna start over and really put some thought. I'm gonna get some of these baseball nerds to help me create some special metrics that I can really get into the numbers and let the numbers figure it out. I don't want to actually watch a sport. I just want the box scores to come out so I can put them into spreadsheets and calculations, and then make decisions based on just the calculations and the numbers. Frankly, if we just simmed all the games, we really don't even need athletes or players. If we can just sim games, that would be so much better for the analytics crowd. Just sim the games.
It's like you watching the Masters on your laptop. Remember what Dick Harmon said about that?
Yeah, and now everybody does it.
Right.
Now, literally, mobile viewing is 74% of sports viewing, which kind of blows me away that number is that high.
8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.